All right, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 2. The title of the message this morning is a warning to gospel hearers. I hope you'll pay particular attention, those of you who've been around a long time, and our children, our young people. This is a warning that's good for us to hear. I have a warning this morning for people who regularly hear the gospel. It's almost everybody here, regularly hear the gospel, but still yet have not committed all to Christ. There's a tendency for people, and I know what I'm talking about. I grew up hearing the gospel. There's a tendency for people who grow up only ever hearing nothing but the gospel of God's truth. There's a tendency for us to think that hearing that is enough. Getting mental agreement to that, to the fact that that's true, we think there's a tendency to think that that's enough. There's a tendency for us to think we're okay because we have a head knowledge of the gospel, even though we have not yet closed with Christ. You look in verse 13 of Romans chapter 2. Paul says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." The same thing applies to hearing the gospel. It's not just the hearers of the gospel that will be justified, but the doers of it. Well, what is it to be a doer of the gospel? It's to believe it. To be a doer of the gospel is to quit all of your works and to rest in Christ, to commit all to Him. Then we tend to think we're on good spiritual ground because we know the right doctrine. We've been well taught. If you've been around here for very long, you ought to be well taught. There's no excuse for you not to be. God's given us teachers and pastors who have been so faithful to teach us the Word. If we're not well taught, we don't at least have a head knowledge of the gospel. It's our own fault for not paying attention. And I'd say almost all of y'all here know the truth. Up here, now you know the truth. And I'm glad you do. That's a whole lot better than only knowing error. It's a whole lot better. But the warning to us is this. Salvation is not a work in the head. Salvation is not a work that the pastor, your teachers, can do in your head by teaching you the ABCs of the gospel. It's good to know those things, but salvation is a work that God Almighty does in the heart. And without that heart work, we will perish, no matter what we know. Then we tend to think we're on good spiritual ground because we're related to people who are believers. Our parents are believers, our grandparents, our other relatives, our friends. And, you know, we think we're in good company. Now, you are in good company. I mean, you know, it's good to grow up in a home with believing parents who teach us the Scriptures. That is an undeniable blessing of God. But there's a warning to us here. Salvation can't come to our souls through Adam's bloodline. Salvation can only be found in the blood of Christ. We can only be saved being washed in His blood, having the Holy Spirit apply His blood to our hearts. And most of these Jews, and Paul knew what he was talking about, he grew up in it. Most of these Jews fell into these very traps. They looked to who they were related to. They thought their soul was in good shape because they descended from Abraham. They heard the law every Sabbath they read. Other nations didn't, so they thought they were just fine. And we do the exact same thing today. We just substitute hearing the gospel for hearing the law. At the end of chapter 2, Paul answers this question. Who is a spiritual Jew? A spiritual Jew is a saved person. And that's the question I want us to consider this morning. Who is a true Jew? Who is it that's a saved person? I want to answer this question very plainly and simply so that when we leave here this morning, each of us know whether or not we're a true Jew, whether or not we're a saved person. And we're going to start out with some things by which we cannot be saved. Number one is this. Salvation does not come to our hearts through right doctrine. Salvation is through faith in Christ. Verse 17, this is what Brother Henry told us that so many times. You don't arrive at Christ through right doctrine. You arrive at right doctrine through Christ. Paul says that, verse 17, Romans 2. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Now Paul says, you're a Jew. Your nationality is from Israel. You're a natural born Jew. But does that give you any spiritual advantage? No, it does not. Because salvation is by grace. And if salvation is by grace, salvation can't have anything to do with our flesh. It can't have anything to do with it whatsoever. Now the Jews, that nation Israel, that nation that's still over there today, in times of the Old Testament, that nation was chosen by God to be His people on this earth. God chose them to be a picture. He chose them to be a picture of His elect, spiritual Israel. But that nation Israel, God chose them to be His nation on earth. Did that mean that God saved them all? No, it doesn't. Matter of fact, He just saved a few of them. No one was ever saved because they descended from Abraham. And if you want to know the truth of that, all you got to do, you look right close to Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. They weren't saved. So the only way any of us can be saved is through faith in Christ. Let me see if I can show you that with the nation Israel. Remember how the nation Israel was down there in Egypt in bondage. They cried unto the Lord. And the Lord delivered that nation out of Egypt with a mighty hand. I mean, they didn't leave a thing behind. And when they left, they spoiled Egypt. The Egyptians were just giving them all their possessions. Here, I'll give you all this gold if you get out here faster. He delivered them with a mighty hand. And Paul says in Romans 11, verse 26, that all Israel shall be saved. Was Paul talking about the nation Israel? Was he talking about that nation that God delivered out of Egypt with a mighty hand? He couldn't have been, could he? No way was he talking about them. Because we know everybody that came out of Egypt was not saved, were they? We know they weren't. Well, why weren't they? Weren't they related to Abraham? Weren't they children of Abraham? Oh, yes, they were a natural Jew. But they weren't saved. Why not? Because they didn't have faith in Christ. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see, they could not enter in because of unbelief. And chapter 4 tells us how this applies to you and me. Let us, therefore, fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So simply hearing the gospel is not going to profit us at all. Unless we believe Christ. Isn't that plain? You can't mistake what he's saying. Salvation cannot come just through hearing the gospel or having the right head knowledge of right doctrine. Salvation can only come through faith in Christ. All right, here's a second thing. This is the second way salvation cannot come to us. Salvation is not in a good outward show in the flesh. Salvation must be an inward work of grace. Verse 18 of Romans 2. And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge, and the truth in the law. Now Paul's saying to these Jews, he said, you say that you know God's will. You say you know God's will in saving sinners. And up here, I'd venture to say everybody in this room has a head knowledge of God's will in saving sinners. You say you know things that are more excellent. You know things that are more excellent than things going on in the heathen world and false religion. So now you think you can be a teacher of all those poor, ignorant people. here's the problem. If a person makes himself a teacher, instead of God making him a teacher, he's going to be full of problems. And God will not use that man with that attitude to teach anybody. The person that Paul describes here looks down on everybody else. He says, oh, I better go teach those blind, foolish babes because, you know, I'm more wise than they are. And God will never use that kind of attitude to teach or to feed his sheep. See, this person, they're just making a good show in the flesh, but not in the spirit. All he has is a form of knowledge. The form might look good, but all it is an outward form. He got no inward spirit. And all that is a dead corpse. Isn't that a dead corpse? A dead corpse has all the form of a body, doesn't it? Everything's there. It's all in the right form. But there's no inward life. So all that dead corpse can do is corrupt everybody around it. And it can't be of any use to anybody. Because you've got the right form, but there's no inward life. That's what this teacher is, who only has the right form of doctrine. He's of no use to anybody, and all he can do is corrupt everybody around him. So salvation is not in the right form of religion. Salvation is having Christ formed in the heart. That's why Paul told the Galatians, he said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Because that salvation, it's an inward work. This thing of having the right form. I know what I'm talking about. This is to my shame. When I was in college, I was a freshman in college, we had a group of 16 boys there in this suite we were in. One night a week, we'd all get together out there in a common area for a debate. You know, we're in college or higher education. Our minds are all good, you know, we debate. And one of the common things we would debate was religion. Buddy, I had the form. I let them have it. And with the exact same form and the exact same mind, I could debate who was the greatest first baseman to ever live. Both of them were a form. Didn't do anybody any good. That's what Paul's talking about today. All right, thirdly, religious activity can't make us holy. Just simply coming here to the service and hearing the gospel, that can't make us holy. The only way a sinner can be made holy is in Christ. Verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Now you know what was going on in religion in Paul's day? It's exactly what's going on today in 2017. People in that day got a hold of a little law and they became legalists. People today get a hold of a little form of the gospel, a little form of the Bible, a little understanding something about the law, and they do the same thing. They become legalists. And what do? They keep telling people, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. It sounds like somebody walking around with a 3-year-old. Don't do that. Don't stop. Don't do that. That's their message. Don't do that. Don't do that. And God won't be mad at you. God will save you, you know, if you don't do that. But you know, legalistic religion is always full of hypocrisy. The preacher just hammers away at people to be moral, doesn't he? He hammers away. Don't steal. Be honest. And he's the biggest hypocrite in the room the whole while. He's not living honestly before men. He's not dealing honestly with men's souls. He's deceiving them for this purpose, so he can get their hard-earned dollars. He's just stealing from them. That's what he's doing. And worse yet, he's a thief. He's robbing God of his glory and salvation. When a person lies on God and tells you you can do something to get saved, there's an article in the bulletin to help you read it. Did you get saved? That man tells you you can do something to get saved. He's robbing God of his glory. He's taking the glory of God away from him. God saves sinners purely by his grace and his mercy alone. That salvation gives God all the glory. But the giving you something to do to get it gives you some of it and robs God of His glory. Salvation is not something that we can do for ourselves. Salvation is something that God does for us, that Christ purchased for us, and the Holy Spirit puts in us in the new birth. That's what salvation is. You know, these people that want the law, people, they want more law. They want more law. Tell me how to live. Tell me what the law says I ought to do. If a person, if all he thinks about, all he preaches about is the law, you know what he's going to do? He's going to become a bigger lawbreaker than ever. Verse 22. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You know, the more you tell yourself and the more you tell other people how to live by following the law, the more you're going to incite the law, the flesh to break the law. That's all you're going to do. The more you tell yourself something, don't do something, the more you want to do it. Jonathan told me last week about a place he went, his health club he went to, and one of the men told him, when you come, he said, bring your razor. We're all going to go to the steam room after our workout and shave. He said, it's the best shave you'll ever get. So after their workout, they went to the steam room. John said, there's signs everywhere saying, don't shave in the steam room. And he said, the sign says we're not supposed to shave. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. This is the best shave you ever get. Well, then he went to the Ashland Y. He goes in the steam room. Nobody's there shaving. John says, all you got to do to get that place full of men shaved is hang up signs and don't do it. Because the first time somebody tells you, it's never dawned on anybody to do it. But the first time somebody tells you don't do it, that's all you want to do. First time the law told me, don't covet. You know what happened? All I could think about is how I wanted what my neighbor had and I didn't. First time the law told me, don't lust. That's all I could do. Paul tells us that's human nature in Romans chapter 7. Verse 7, he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And these people, that's all they want to do is talk about the law. Want to guide you, tell you how to live by the law, tell you get saved by the law. They just make themselves, they incite their flesh to want to break the law. That's why all these TV preachers who preach the law as a way of righteousness, who preach the law as a rule of life, you've got to keep the law and God will bless you and make you rich and happy. That's why so many of them fall into all these scandals. Because all they can think about is the law, and it just makes them want to break it. Same thing's true with these Catholic priests. They take a vow of celibacy, and I'm telling you, from that moment on, that's all they can think about. Because the law prohibits it. Verse 23. Thou that makest thyself thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it's written. Yeah, how many people do you know, they don't want anything to do with Christianity, they don't want anything to do with the Bible, they don't want anything to do with religion, even good preaching. Because they've seen famous TV preachers, they know very strict religious people, they see them, they lay heavy burdens on people, and then they turn around and fall into open sin, they do all these things that dishonor God, even an unregenerate man sees the error in that. And the worst thing, yeah, is this message of law keeping is spiritual adultery. And while they're committing spiritual adultery, they're spiritually robbing God of His glory. And they're robbing the opportunity for men and women to hear God's word. They're robbing them. So salvation can't be something by us keeping the law. It can't be done by us keeping the law and making our own selves holy. Salvation can't be got that way. And salvation can't be kept that way. It's not God saves you and then you got to live holy. That's you keeping hold of your salvation. No. Salvation can't be kept by you keeping yourself holy through the law. Salvation, let me tell you where it's found. Let me tell you where holiness is found. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ keeping the law of His people. His obedience is our obedience. And we lay hold of it by faith in Christ. All right, here's the fourth thing. Salvation is not fixing up the outward. the way we act on the outside. Salvation is not, it's starting to act more religious. Salvation is God giving a new heart. Verse 25. For circumcision barely profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, if the heathen Gentile, if they keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? But here's what Paul's telling us. This circumcision, it was an outward sign in the flesh that somebody was a Jew. That's how you can tell somebody was a Jew. They were circumcised. It was a sign in the flesh. It was a token. Now, circumcision was required by the law. They had to take those boy babies and circumcise them on the eighth day. It was required by the law. But circumcision never saved anybody. Not one person ever. The only way circumcision will profit you, or profit them in the Old Testament, the only way it can profit anybody, is if you keep the whole law. The whole law of God. But nobody can do that. Nobody can keep the whole law of God. So circumcision never profited anybody spiritually. Because we couldn't keep the whole law. And what Paul, this is just a hypothetical situation Paul's talking about, and nobody can do this. And he asks in this hypothetical situation, wouldn't it be better to keep the whole law and not be circumcised rather than be circumcised and break all the rest of the law? I mean, see how foolish man's religion is? If somebody would just take 2 seconds to think about it with the brain God gave them, you see through the error of it. But I'll tell you how this applies to you and me. We don't have this issue, you know, circumcision today. But we do have, we have the same heart problem. We tend to think, you know, there's this law. And, you know, the law we pick out is the one we think we can keep. Circumcision was not something you decided to do for your own self. It's something your parents did for you. You're 8 days old. You never had any say in it. So this is the way. That's why they picked out circumcision. I didn't have to, it's already done. We just think, well, there's one law, I don't really have a problem, you know, with that law. I think I can keep that law, so I'm going to keep it. And God's going to be more pleased with me than somebody else who did. If I keep this, I know my righteousness is in Christ, but if I keep this one law and do really good, God's going to give me like extra credit. But we think that, you know what we've done? We've put ourselves in bondage to the entire law of God. And made the obedience of Christ to be of no use to us. Let me show you that. Galatians chapter 5. That's exactly what we've done. If we think we can add anything to extra credit, do something good to make God happy with us, the righteousness of Christ will not benefit us at all. Galatians 5 verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, if you get circumcised in order to keep the law and make yourself saved, make yourself more righteous than somebody else, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. If you think you can be justified by something that you do, you're fallen from grace. Christ has profited you nothing. Now let me make this an application to all of us here. Salvation is not something outward that we do. Salvation is not in where you attend church. Now, I hope you attend a service here. I hope you attend a place where the truth of God's gospel is preached. When you've got one lecture to it. Oh boy. That's, you know, oh. You live, you be. It's good for you to hear the gospel. All God sends us pastors and teachers. Be there. But now listen. Salvation can't come just because you attend there. Salvation is not something we know about the Bible that all these other lost people don't know. You know, that's what the woman at the well thought, wasn't it? She thought, well, where you worship's important. You know, we worship in a mountain. You say you're supposed to worship down there in the temple. Where you worship, you know, matters. Our Lord taught her. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with it, does it? Salvation cannot be something that we deserve. Salvation must be by grace. Salvation is not in the outward. Salvation is not even in the outward sign of baptism. If anybody here, if you want to be saved by being baptized, you think being baptized will make you saved? I tell you what we're going to get. We're going to get a wet, guilty, dead sinner. That's what we're going to get. Salvation is a heart work. And we believe God because God's given us a new heart of faith. And we publicly confess. If God gives us faith to believe Christ, then we publicly confess. Christ died. He died for my sin. You know why he is buried? Because he had to die for my sin. And he was raised. He died for me. He was buried for me. And he was raised again because his sacrifice put my sin away. That's all my hope of salvation. Didn't have anything to do with anything I've done. And now I live in him. That's your hope of salvation. If you believe Christ that way, you must be baptized. You must confess your Savior. That's our Lord's commandment. And that's all baptism is. It's a confession of what God's already done. It's just an outward sign of it's a confession of what God's already done. But if you try to be baptized to cleanse your sin, you're just going to come out just as guilty as you ever were. Because salvation is not in the outward. Brethren, if we would be saved, God's got to give us a new heart. And that's what Paul says in verse 28. Now we get down to the question. For he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You see, none of this outward stuff affects the salvation of my soul at all. God's got to give me a new heart. That's what I need. And Paul talks about the circumcision of the heart. That's what he's talking about. The cutting away of the flesh. The cutting away of that stony heart. And the giving of a new heart. And if God's given you a new heart in a new birth, he's given you a heart of faith that believes Christ. He's given you a heart that loves Christ. You're a Jew. That's right. You're a Jew. You're a spiritual Jew. That's what it is to be a spiritual Jew. It's to be saved. And it all is an inward matter. It's a heart matter. It doesn't have anything to do with the flesh. All right? That's what a spiritual Jew is. That's who a saved person is. Well, this is what I want to know. Am I saved? Are you saved? Am I a spiritual descendant of Abraham? Well, you know, every spiritual descendant of Abraham is going to have some family characteristics. I got five. There are probably more, but they're... I'm going to give you five family characteristics. Five characteristics you will find in the spiritual DNA of every believer. You know, there are things that I do, especially as I get older, I think, wow, my dad did that. Why do I do it? It's just in my DNA. You know, I just can't help it. That's the way it is with the believer. There are five things that are just in our spiritual DNA if we're a spiritual Jew. Number one is this. Every spiritual Jew is chosen of God in God's electing grace, just like Abraham was. No believer is ever chosen because we're better than somebody else. Absolutely not. We're chosen by God because God's good, because God loves sinners, because God has the capacity to love sinners. God didn't choose Abraham because he's any good, did he? Now everybody, all the Jews like to talk about Abraham, but where's Abraham when God found him? He was an idolater. God didn't call Abraham because he's good. He was worshiping idols. God called Abraham because God's good. Because God saves sinners. And the same thing is true of everyone God chooses. If God did not, could not choose you because there's anything good in you, it could only be because of the goodness of God. In your spiritual Jew. Second, every spiritual Jew is called of God. It's like Abraham was. One day there's Abraham worshiping idols, going about his life, you know. And God called Abraham. He said, Abraham, get out of your father's house and go to a place I'll tell you of. God didn't call anybody else from that family. The awesome people left because one of them was married to Abraham, one of them was nephew, some of them were servants. But Abraham left because God called Abraham. Abraham was blessed, wasn't he? Oh, how blessed Abraham was. God called him. And the same thing is true of everybody God saves. Everybody God saves, He calls them individually, by name, on purpose. He says, come follow me, go to the land I'll show you. Now we do call on God. We called on God today in prayer. We had two men here publicly pray. But we didn't call on God, but He called us first. Oh, He calls His people. Here's something different from Abraham. God doesn't call His people audibly. Abraham, with fleshly ears, heard God speak to him. We're not going to hear God that way. Today, God calls His people to His word. In these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. He calls His people through the preaching of the gospel. And God gives them an ear of faith that hears. And when God calls, we follow. God's given you an ear of faith. If He calls you, you follow Him. If you hear God speaking to your heart in the gospel, you're a spiritual Jew. I look over my notes this morning and I always think, is that plain? Can the youngest person understand that? If you hear God speaking to you in the gospel, you're saved. What does that mean? See if I can help you. If you hear this gospel preached and you say, oh, that suits my need. It's like that preacher's talking to me. How does he know what's going on in my heart? If you hear the gospel that way, if Christ suits your every need, you're a spiritual Jew. God's called you. Thirdly, every spiritual Jew is committed to God. Absolutely committed to God. Just like Abraham was. Look back at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14, Lot and a bunch of these other folks have been taken captive. Abraham took a few of his servants, went down there and defeated them and set them all free. The slaughter of the kings is what it's called. Look here after the battle is over, Genesis 14, verse 21. And Abram, verse 21, yeah. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, and you take all those goods to thyself. All of that, you take it all to yourself. All the spoils, it's all yours. Just give me the people alive. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord, Jehovah, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that's thine, lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me. That's all I'm going to take. I'm not going to take anything lest you say you've made me rich. I've lifted my hand to God and I've committed everything to Him. If I'm going to have it, He's going to give it to me. I've committed myself to Him so that everything I have is going to come from Him. Abraham, when God called him, said, Abraham, go out to the place I'll tell you. Abraham committed all and went out. Not knowing where he's going. Trust in the Lord to lead him. And everyone God saves says the exact same thing. We say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded, I'm confident of this, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Faith always involves a commitment to Christ. The believer, what have you committed to Christ? Absolutely everything. All of my salvation. I mean all of it without me taking a shoe latchet or a hair's breadth. All of it is on Christ. That's why I've committed that to you. In all this life, I've committed it. If I was Buddy, I'd go to the operating room tomorrow. I would. I'm committing all to Christ. Aren't you? That's why I committed all to Him. All of it. Faith in Christ always involves commitment. And if you've just committed everything, all of your eternal life to Christ, you're a spiritual Jew. Fourthly, every spiritual Jew is justified, made without sin, by faith, not by works. Just like Abraham was. Look over at Romans chapter 4. If we're going to be a son of Abraham, we're going to have these traits just like Abraham. Every saved person is justified by faith without works. Romans 4 verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's how a person is justified, made righteous through faith in Christ. Now, Abraham was circumcised. Abraham wasn't justified because he's circumcised, was he? No, he justified long before he was circumcised. Abraham was justified when he believed God. So that shows us. We're saved. We're made righteous. We're made holy through faith in Christ without any of our works. And every believer, every spiritual Jew is justified the exact same way. By faith. John chapter 8. John 8, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you're Abraham's children, you'd act like him. Now, every spiritual Jew does the same works Abraham did. Well, what are the works of Abraham? Abraham believed God. That's why Paul told the church at Galatians, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that's who are the children of Abraham, those who have faith in Christ. So you're a Jew. You're a saved person if you believe God like Abraham believed God. Just believe. Just believe. Just rest in Christ. I don't have to understand how God can justify me through the obedience and through the death of another. I don't have to understand that. There are good things I can't. All I'm called on to do is believe. I'm justified in Christ. I don't have to understand how God is going to do everything He promised He's going to do. I don't have to understand how it's going to happen. I just have to believe He's going to do what He promised. That's faith. Then lastly, every spiritual Jew looks to Christ. Our sacrifice and our only hope of salvation. John 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Now what day is the Lord speaking about there? Well, he is talking about a specific day. He's talking about that day Abraham took his only son Isaac to the top of that mountain. Abraham's going to kill that boy, his son. He's going to split his throat. He can, whatever he does with the blood, he's going to quarter the body. And he's going to burn it to ashes. Because that's what God told him to do. And right as he lifted that knife to kill his son, God said, Abraham, stop. Stop. Abraham looked behind him. And there's a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, caught in by his power. Abraham took that ram. He offered him up as a sacrifice. Instead, his son Isaac. He and Isaac went back down that mountain to meet their servants. I can only imagine how glad Abraham was. But there's something far greater going on there. Abraham was glad. You know why? Because in that picture, Abraham saw the Redeemer. He saw, God showed him by faith, he saw this is how God's going to save sinners. This is how God's going to save His people. Christ is going to be sacrificed as their substitute. They're going to live because Christ is going to die as their substitute. Whoopee. Oh, he's glad. This is how God saves sinners. And every spiritual Jew looks to Christ the exact same way. His sacrifice is my only hope of salvation. The only hope I have of life is that Christ dies my substitute. The only hope I have that my sin is paid for is Christ suffered and died and shed His blood as my substitute. Now, if you look to that sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ, you're glad. Because you see your only hope in Him. You see your life in His death. You see Christ as your substitute. Then you're a spiritual Jew. You're saved first. That's how God saves sinners. I pray God will make us see that this morning. That He'll apply that to our hearts. Make us spiritual Jews. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You that You've preserved and protected Your gospel, that You've blessed Your Word preached here in Ashland for so many years. All these years, You've not left Yourself without a witness. You've given Your sheep a place where we can come and feed in the green pastures of Your Word. You've raised up a place and preserved a place for sinners, lost, dead, vile, guilty sinners. Can come and hear the free remedy, the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that You continue to bless Your Word, that You continue to bless Your gospel. And Father, this morning, we hope You'll and pray that You'll bless Your Word, bless Your gospel here, till You return, if it be Thy will. But we're not promised tomorrow. Father, today, this morning, this hour, this minute, would You bless Your Word? We beg of Thee, bless Your Word to the hearts of Your people. Give life, faith, salvation. Strengthen us and edify us. Cause us to find our joy and gladness. Life and salvation by looking to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His precious name we pray and give thanks.